Today being November 24th, a very special day in the calendar. My anniversary today, English anniversary. Thank you. Thank
you.
9 years.
Wow.
So aloha karshatov to my wife. Happens to be also today's Thanksgiving, and Judah requested a topic related to Thanksgiving. Not an issue of chukas agoyim, which would be a great topic. Yeah, we're leaving to Meir and Jeremy to do chukas akum next week, I think, chabura. So I figured I'd do something else, a sugya about giving thanks through the bracha, particularly the birchas anes. There's a halacha that when someone experiences a nes, and whenever he revisits that place, he has to say bracha. So we're going to go through that sugya. We're going to start with a medrash in Parshas Vayichi, and we're only in Parshas Toldos now, but Yaakov is born, and Yaakov, you know, eventually Yosef is born, so Vayichi is the end of Yaakov's life. So I guess that's somehow a connection to this week's Parsha. So the Medrash says as follows. After the brothers of Yosef recognized that that Yaakov had died, they were very scared. Why were they so scared? Because on the way back from burying Yaakov Avinu, they crossed the boar that Yosef was thrown into. And when Yosef went to that pit, he said the bracha of Birchas Anes. Just like anybody else is chayiv to say the bracha of Birchas Anes when he goes to that place where Makom Anes happened, so too Yosef did the same thing in the boar. And they, the brothers, didn't realize he was saying the bracha. They saw him, they observed him, and say he's probably really upset. He's looking down that pit. This is where my brother sent me down to kill me. He started getting very angry, they assumed. And Yaakov is no longer alive to protect them, and they got very, very scared. That's what the Medrash says. The Chassam Sofer, there in the Parsha, in Parsha Vayechi, says, why were the brothers Choshed Yosef, why didn't they assume that Yosef went to the pit to say a bracha of Birchas Anes? Why was it so obvious to them that Yosef went there and he got so angry he wanted to take revenge? In the end, we know from the Medrash Yosef just said the bracha. Why didn't the brothers assume that he was saying the bracha? Why couldn't they have thought that? So the Chassam Sofer gives two answers. One is, just the answer you always give in discussing whether the Avos kept the mitzvahs pre-Matan Torah. They thought they had the din of a Ben Noach, and a Ben Noach is not obligated to say this bracha. So of course Yosef's not saying the bracha Birchas Anes, we're only a Bnei Noach. And Yosef was machmir. There are a number of Midrashim, the Chassam Sofer point out, that Yosef was more machmir on himself than the rest of the brothers. He considered himself a member of Klal Yisrael, and he was machmir to say the bracha. So that was their machlokas, Yosef being the brothers. It was a halachic machlokas. What was their status? Was their status of Ben Noach or was their status of Bnei Yisrael? The second thing is, the Chassam Sofer, the brothers thought the only time you say a bracha, Birchas Anes, of recognizing and remember a miracle, that's only when the entire Klal Yisrael experience an ace. But when it's a particular Yachid, a particular Yachid does not say that. That was a machlokas, whether a Yachid could say Birchas Anes or not. Now the Gemara itself, there's a machlokas Bavli Yushalmi, whether a Yachid says it. We paskin like the Bavli, we'll see later on, that a Yachid does say it. Yushalmi says not. So goof of the machlokas Bavli Yushalmi, whether Yachid says it, was goof of the machlokas of the brothers versus Yosef. That's the Chassam Sofer says. It's always a fun discussion. I always find it very fun discussing what the Avos, whether they keep the mitzvahs or not, the mitzvahs. Many people have a big problem discussing that. What do you mean? The mitzvah, the Matan Torah wasn't given yet. But I always find it very fascinating, and you see Big Dole and Chassam Sofer, the Midrashim, do discuss these topics. The Chassam Asher, the Chavetz Chaim, go in depth discussing what the Avos kind of mitzvahs they kept or not. Yeah.
So
first of all, it might be only Avram Avinu.
Right.
One. Number two is, the Bracha Birchas Anes. Is that Deraisa? Yes, the Gemara in Yuma says he kept Afil Erev Tavshilin, which is their Banan only. So yeah, so some have the problem, some don't. But even they kept the mitzvahs, did everybody keep the mitzvahs? Every detail, every chumrah, did they know like every Rambam they kept? Certain things the Rishon were Mechadish later on. So how much did they know and how much did they keep? Torah Shebaal Peh. Now another interesting answer might be just to explain why they thought Yosef went over there, he didn't say the bracha. Why do they assume he was not saying the bracha Birchas Anes? So there's a Ramban in Parshas Vayeshev which says that they did not know that there were snakes in there, actually, and scorpions. The pit was so deep, they couldn't see down below. They didn't think there was actually a sakana there. They threw him in the pit. I guess they assumed he eventually could have came out on his own. They didn't think he'd die in there. They didn't know there were snakes in there. So from their perspective, they didn't realize there was such an ace. Yosef, who was actually in the pit, snakes and scorpions crawling up his legs, mamash sakana, he knew it was an ace, so that's why he said the bracha. Okay.
Does that mean that there are manholes that a yachid could technically say?
Right. Exactly. They would agree had they known he should have said the bracha. They just didn't know the mitzvahs. So now let's go into the discussion of what is the nature of the bracha of birchas hanes. And some of these issues may help explain a different perspective how to explain what the brothers and Yosef were arguing about, whether or not he said the bracha or not. So what exactly is the nature of the bracha? What type of bracha is birchas hanes? If I had to ask you, what is the bracha? What type? What's the shevach?
That's where Hashem saved you from, or whatever, that he created this nes for you, and you can shevach him for, you know, getting out of that situation, or...
That would be more of a hodah, I think.
Okay, yeah.
No, it's fine. No, people know, shevach and hodah usually are coupled together. Bircha shevach hodah they refer to. But the way Jake just said, it was a hodah, giving thanks. Thanks to Hashem for saving me from this opportunity, or, you know, not from the opportunity, from this circumstance. The other side, which is what Jake was called a birchas shevach, how could you view this as a birchas shevach, giving praise to God? What's the shevach you'd give to Hashem? Not out of thanks.
You're incredible.
You created this nes. You created Kriyas Yamsuf. Not because I received anything as a whole personal hodah, it's because of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in fact, you find the Achronim arguing about the nature of this. Look at number 4 in the Geder HaMitzvah. The Taz writes, this simon, the discussion of Birchas HaNes is Simon Reish Yud Ches. Simon Reish Yud Tes in the Shulchan Aruch discusses Birchas HaGomel. So in Reish Yud Tes, the Taz writes, Lidin Bracha Al HaNes, Pasuk, Psak B'Simon Reish Yud Ches, If Ches Delo Yivarech, Nir Atam, De Birchas HaNes Niskan, Tosefes al mashishayach lebirchas agomel. Birchas hanes has an additional takana on top of that of the birchas agomel. B'davar shuchutz l'teva, something that's outside of nature. V'akol modim she'etzbe elokim hi. Everybody agrees this is etzbe elokim. It's the greatness of etzbe elokim. Everyone agrees birchas agomel. When you go through a desert, come out of jail, sickness, you say birchas agomel. That's hodah. It's definitely a hodah. The Taz says this is additional. In addition to hodah, maybe different than hodah, this is a shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Etzpe Elokim, the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he created such an ace. It's a birchas shevach, according to the Taz. And Levush, in number 5, writes that Haro Malkim Shinasu Bo Nisim Lavo Seinu, you see the place where the Nisim were done to our forefathers, you say the Baruch Hu also Nisim Lavo Seinu B'Malkim Hazeh. And this has to, this Shetzarach Lo says, Shevach L'makam Al HaTova Shehi Tiv Al Avoseinu. Now it is, you know, he kind of, Jake did say, Shevach even Kadosh Baruch Hu. But you're giving praise to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're giving thanks to Hashem for the Tova, the goodness He did for us and our forefathers. It's recognition of the Tova, it's a Hodah. So Levush calls it a Hodah, he doesn't call it, but we're categorizing it as a Hodah, a personal thanks. And the Taz calls it a Shevach of praise of the Gevura, of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So in keeping that in mind, let's go through some of the details of the bracha and see how this plays out. So the halachas of Birchas Hanes is found in the last parak of Brachos, the very first mission of the last parak. It starts, Haroa Malkom Shinasibo Nisim Liyisrael, the Mishnah says. You say, Baruch Sha'asa Nisim Lav Hosein B'Malkom Hazeh. When you encounter the place where Nisim were done to Klal Yisrael, you say the bracha. Of Sha'asa Nisim. What's the source? Anybody know the source without looking ahead? Not the Medjish. It's a Pasuk.
Az Yashir?
No, it's a good guess, though. Very good guess. The Gemara says, what's the source? Minahani Mile, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Damar Kra, Vayomru Yisra Baruch Hashem Hashem Hitzil. Yisra says, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for saving, for performing these Nisim to Klal Yisrael. When he sees Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, thank you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, for these nisim. The big question the Achronim and the Yishonim ask, the Mishnah says, Haro Emakom, when you see the place. If someone had a car accident, I have a cousin who had a car accident a number of years going up to the country. I don't know exactly the details. I think maybe off the cliff or something. Bracha and everything was okay. I don't know the details of it. Whenever he passes this place, he says this bracha. That makom. It's about the makom. When Yisrael saw Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and Bnei Yisrael, how could he say the bracha of Anes? He didn't see the makom of Kriyas Yamsuf. He didn't see all the nisim, the place where the nisim happened. He saw the individuals. So Marsha asks this question, number 8. Vim tomer ha anisa de rabim nami lo mevarchin elba makom hanes kitigasani haro makom v'chule. How can you say the bracha? It wasn't the makom. So the Marsha answers, de lechtem b'midbar b'chlal nes hatalas b'mitzrayimu. The travels through the desert was included part of the one long nes that was taking place. There's Kriyas Yamsuf, and all the nisim that continued to take place, the Ber Mayim, the Man, the Ananya Kavod, all the nisim that took place. So when he saw Moshe Rabbeinu, he was still the Makom HaMidbar. It was the Makom, it was the appropriate place to say the Bracha Asher Asa Nisim L'Avoseinu. But yes, the Marsha agrees, you still need the particular Makom to say the Bracha. Rabbeinu Menachem and the Rambam says differently. He was Mechavin to the Mir Yosef. Rabbeinu Menachem says, the Chavin Shaya Roa Es Yisrael, since he saw Klal Yisrael, Hayam, these people experienced the great nes of Kriyas Yamsuf. It's as if you're seeing the actual place. You don't have to see the actual place. If I see the individuals who experienced that nes, that's enough to give or to say the bracha of Shasu Nisim. Rabbeinu Menachem Mechaim from the Iri. Rabbeinu Menachem was focusing on Klal Yisrael. The Miri says particularly Moshe Rabbeinu, that when Yisrael saw Moshe Rabbeinu, Sha'al Yado Nasu, that Moshe, through Moshe, the Nisim were done. With Yisrael Shenasu Lehem, and Klal Yisrael also, who experienced the Nis, it was Chaviv Hayo Beinav, it was so dear to Yisrael. Kilu Ra HaMakom, as if he actually saw the places. But he didn't see the Makom. So Machlok is whether you actually have to see the Makom, or it's enough to see the individual.
Would you say that's the same
focus
of
Shaiva Chan Hoda? Well, how do you think to connect it?
If Hoda is about me, my experience that, I guess, that I'm whatever praising for what Hashem did to me, then obviously I need to be at the place. I can't be a step removed. I can't gain with the Sheva. You don't necessarily need to be at the actual place. You could have just saw the people that were involved to still be Mishaveach.
Exactly. Exactly how Rav Karlbach in the Chavetz explains that. If it's a Shevach, like any other Shevach, you just have to see. You're not in the place of the light. Lighting can be miles away, definitely upwards, even across over there. If it's not in the Makom, I see it. I see a rainbow far away. As long as I see it, I could say a Shevach. So that's why the Miri says, if I saw the person who experienced it, that's enough of a reason to say, let's praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But if it's about a personal hodah, my experience, I'll say from this experience, it's possible that you have to be particularly in that makom that I experienced that to give the real full hodah. That the makom is the mechayiv hodah. That's how it explains it. Now, I see it's not 100% mukhrach, because I can still say, why can I give thanks when I'm not in the place? If I'm far away, I see a place somewhere distant that happened to me, won't that be enough of a reason for me to give hodah? So it's not 100% mukhrach. I hear the inclination to say such a shot. Yeah.
What was Marsha again?
Marsha says that the mamash were in the makom. The midbar was the makom of the nes. It was all one continued nes in the makom and midbar. And the Miri says, no, you're right, you weren't in the makom. The makom and midbar is not part of the makom Kriyas Yamsuf. But seeing the people who experience it is enough of a reason to say, wow, you experienced, you saw the Yad Hashem, I'm going to give Shevach to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But if it's about the Makom, if it's about Hodah, thanks, maybe it's going to be limited to that place where the actual Nes happened. That's when you can really give the best Hodah. The best Hodah is when you actually remember the experience. How do you remember the experience? When your mom is in that Makom.
Can you get to the Shevach also? Like, it's always better. So why is it like all the two better?
I guess we don't find anywhere that we're required to do that when it comes to Ariya, Birchas HaShevach. all birchas shevach that's about seeing something, then there's never a hakpada to be mamish in that makom. Seeing it's enough. But once the birchas hadah, it's possible the details will change. The birchas hadah, so maybe it has to be dafka in that makom. Then you have to say, well, birchas hagomel. No, I just flew overseas. I'm saying birchas hagomel and the shul creates the Torah. I'm not in the place where I was saved. Yeah.
Birchas hadah is obviously more personal. So maybe if it's more personal, the only way you can relate to it is if you're in the actual spot.
See, I don't think it's the only way you could relate to it. I think it's the best way. But once it's the best, then you're saying it's also the best to be Meshabech, Kadosh Baruch Hu, in that place also. So I hear, again, it's not, it might be simply...
there's more of a relating to a place when it comes to Hodah than when it comes
to Hodah. No, maybe you're right. No, you're probably right, because I guess the Hodah, it's about a personal experience. It's coming from your feelings. The Shevach also, it's feeling, but your feelings are not as strong seeing a Kadosh Baruch Hu's greatness as opposed to when you experience something yourself. So... maybe since it's about your own personal experience, to create the utmost hodah on Kadosh Baruch Hu might be particularly in that makom. Okay, again, I hear the hesitations. I hear the connection. It's not the best connection, I would agree. Okay, so now there's an interesting... The Achronim talk about, let's say you have to be dafka in that makom. You have to be in that particular place where the things happen. How particular do you have to be? So, first of all, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, number 11, or the Ramah really, that Yesh Omrim, the Huad Din Im Roa HaAdom Shenasal HaNes Mevarach Halav. Also, if you see the actual person who experienced it, one should say the Bracha. That's how the Ramah Paskins. You see a person who experienced such an ace. The Shai Tshuva quotes a Tshuva, Tshuvas Maharit, Sim Pei Zayin. The following question he was asked. The Maaseh Shehaya, the Reuven, was not in his house. And he heard a voice of someone, some people in his house. Yeah, I guess he was outside. And then he went up to the attic when he heard some people walking around. And he said, who came in the house? The house was locked. He went up to the attic and he saw a ganav there. And the ganav was searching through different things. And the ganav came up to Reuven and started choking Reuven and killed Reuven. He took what he had to take and he left. Reuven ended up living. He died and he came back to life. And the question that was posed by Reuven was, he lives in the house. He doesn't go to the attic often. The attic is where the nes happened. Does he have to say the bracha every time he goes into the house, or every 3 days he goes into the house? Is the house part of the aliyah? Or no, it's separate. They're two different makomos. So it's a very, in general, it's an important discussion how one views the bias in the aliyah. Is that house and the attic part of the same thing or not? Is it where I'm talking about this?
No.
But the gagos and aliyahs in terms of kedusha?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Shini makom.
Then like
Arab Sakam. Comes up Arab Sakam. I thought you were talking about the beginning of Sakam. It comes up in a mission to Darim. If let's say I'm taking Hana, I can't go to the aliyah. I'm allowed to go to the bias. If I can't go to the bias, does that mean I can't go to the aliyah? What's the connection? Does bias include aliyah? Does aliyah include bias? So, the Maharit answers that the makom shenasu lo nes, it's written. The Mishnah says the makom, umakom lo mikri ela makom miyuchad. It's only the particular place, the actual place you have to be in that place itself. Being in the bias does not qualify being in the aliyah. They're two different places. And he brings a very interesting raya from the Medrash of Yosef Atzadik. He was walking with his brothers, as we said before, and he stood on top of the boar, and he said the bracha. And the bracha, the brother said, you know, he's probably looking there to get all upset at us. So why didn't Yosef just say the bracha while he's walking with the brothers? Why did he go off to the side to find the pit and say the bracha? So Maharit explains, you have to be dafka b'makom. It's not enough to see the boar from far away. You have to walk up to the makom and the boar, look down and say the bracha. You need the makom yuchad. And the Chavetz Chaim explains, so why didn't the brothers assume he's going to say the bracha when he walked off to the pit? Because the brothers thought it's enough to say it from far away. When you see the makom, that's enough. You don't have to be dafka b'makom yucha where it happened. That was machlok. The goof of the machlok, because he's fine in the Rishonim, or Rishonim versus the Achronim, the Miri thought it's enough to see it. The Marsha thought you have to be dafka b'makom. That's goof of the machlok, is Yosef and his brothers. Now, in terms of the question of the makom itself, the Magid of Ram has a qualification. The Magid of Ram number 15, on the bottom of page 3, says, that's mashmal chor de dafka kagon hanoch shenikah hanes mitoch hamakom. You only say bracha where the place itself is in such a way where the nes is nicker from that makom. But if there's not, the makom nes is not nicker, if the nes is not nicker in that makom, you shouldn't say bracha. He says, what does that mean? When you walk around Yerushalayim, where the Machane of Sancheir fell, you don't say the bracha. Even though that's where it happened, where Sancheir's army fell and were defeated, the Malkum itself doesn't indicate anything about the Nes. It's only when the Malkum indicates their Nes happened there. So I would think, so Kriyas Yamsuf, you go to the Yamsuf, I look at the water, I don't see any indication of a Nes happening there, why would I say the bracha? So Mishnah Berurah just explained in number 16, he elaborates on the Magid of Ram, means no. In the Kriyas Yamsuf, the water was what the Nes happened to. That's why you say the bracha, that's the Makom Nes. When it comes to the walls around the Yerushalayim, the walls themselves was not the Nes. The people that there was a Nes that happened there, but there's nothing in the dirt, there's nothing in the wall that created the Nes. They died. It's only where something in the Makom you could see which caused the Nes to happen. So Kriyas Yamsuf, the water was part of the Nes. You see the water. That's just a qualification to keep in mind. Now I mentioned before that the Chassam Sofer said, you only say, the brothers thought you don't say the bracha of Nes, you only say it when it's Nes L'Rabim, not Nes L'Yachid. So who's considered Nes L'Rabim? So the Gemara itself just talks about this in Gemara itself says there's a chiyuv to say a bracha, everyone. When a nes l'rabim happens, everybody has a chiyuv to say a bracha on a nes l'rabim. So what's considered nes l'rabim? So Rabbeinu Yonah in the back, in the riff in the bracha, says either it means kol Yisrael, every individual, or rov am Yisrael. That's what's considered a rabim. The Rosh brings a machlokes in Yerushalmi that says, what happens if a nes occurs to an entire shevet? On one hand, a shevet is called a kahal. They're each a kahal in its own right. Is that enough to be considered a nes derabim? So the Achronim discussed this. I think we pass in the end of the day that it is considered a nes derabim if it happens to an entire shevet. Now what's more nogea for us, though, is in terms of a yachid. If a Yachid experiences a Nes, the Gemara in Brachos tells us that not only does he say it, the Gemara says that only the Yachid says it, nobody else. When it comes to a Nes to Rabim, a Nes that happens to the entire nation, or Rove of Klal Yisrael, every member of Klal Yisrael says the Bracha when he gets to that Makom. I guess the Chor, when I went to Egypt, the Hatayim to go to Egypt, there are Hatayim, I went to Egypt, Shana Aleph. I came back, Rabino was very upset. I went with my parents. Went to Cairo. I was on the Yarden. Not the Yarden, rather, I was on the Nile, sorry. Took a little boat ride on the Nile. I saw the Sphinx, the pyramids. So the Chora, those were the places where the Esar Makos took place. And the Nile, for sure, turned into blood. So the Chora, that's a Nes, but I'm not sure it's a Nes of Hatzalah necessarily. It might be only a Nes of Hatzalah. So I didn't see the Yamsuf, I don't think, from there. But anyway, so whenever a nes de rabim happens, everybody has to say bracha. But when nes de yachid, an individual nes happens, someone was saved, only he says it. But others have the girsa, among them are the Rif and the Rambam, that anis de yachid, an individual nes, who? Ubrei, ubar brei, trich levruche. He has to say it, his son has to say it, and his grandson has to say it. but everybody else doesn't say it.
Name like wife, daughters, or is that like?
So right now it seems to be only a son and grandson from the Rif. And the Rebbeinu Yonah just points out it would be different girsa if you're saying the bracha she'asa ni, asa li nes. And if you're son or grandson, you would say she'asa nes la avosai b'machum hazeh. But the son and grandson. The Rashba, however, writes on brachas differently. Kol yote yerecho. Everybody who comes, every single descendant, will say this bracha. Why? Because kol shekulam shutvin ba'oso nes. All of them are partners in this nes. So what's machlokes got? Let's, wait, one more thing. And then the Meiri explains, no, it's only the first generation, the second generation, and the third, the, up until grandson. Why? The Meiri explains, ke'ein doro, they're kind of like part of that generation. When I was in yeshiva for the year, so there's a guy who was trying to bet there, I can't remember his name, he's older than me, and he was a descendant of the Chai Adam. The Chai Adam, there's a terrible fire, I don't know all the details of it. I'm not sure if his whole family, I think, may have been killed in the fire in his house. And the Chai Adam was saved. And the Chai Adam, every year, would make a Sudas Hodah for his, although there was a great, tremendous loss of his family, a Sudas Hodah that he was saved. So I think Rabina said to this individual, since it was known that he came from the Chai Adam, he said, you have to make a Sudas Hodah every single year on that day. Based on this idea, the Rajba writes that Kol Yotirecho. He wasn't a grandson of the Chayyadim, I'll tell you that much. He was much further down. So what's this machok is about whether or not it's the, up until the grandchildren and no one beyond that, or all the Yotirecho should say the bracha of Nes and Yimakom that happened to their grandfather?
If it's Hodah, then, like the Rashi said, the Ram Shutav, and that they should all thank Hashem for being saved, because once that person is saved, so all of them are saved because of that. So you need to give Hodah for Hashem for doing that thing for them to affect them. But maybe you can say, when it comes to Sheva, so there's a certain limit to like how much like you know one experiences that Sheva. So when it happens to the you know the father or the people in that actual door, and like they had kind of like Ramshutah to that Sheva, like to that unbelievable experience, and then that, so therefore it'll only be them. And Yuri would say that whatever any people who are considered part of the door, so the Sheva is still...
Exactly. So, Lahavdil, so we are the grandchildren of many Holocaust survivors. So we could still feel, in the negative way, to a certain extent, the Holocaust, the impact of the Holocaust, to a certain extent. Now, our children will not really experience that. One, they're further away. Number two is the grandparents, for the most part, when they're older, you know, won't be around. How many are left from the Holocaust? So in the positive, in the Shemach way, you could understand also that if your grandparents went through a great Hatzalah of some sort, we could still feel that element. We're part of that generation still. And there's still room to give Birchas HaShemach. But if, as Yoni says, a Birchas Hodah, thanks, although I can't really feel the extent of the thanks, but I still have to give the Hodah. If he wasn't saved, I wouldn't be here. If my great-great-great-great-grandfather wasn't saved, we wouldn't be here. If the pilgrims didn't come to America, we wouldn't be here. There's still an element of Hodah. Now, another angle to look at this, what's the other angle to look at this? Just say it out there.
How close related the generations are, how connected Banu are.
Exactly. Right. B'nei Banu Harik and Banim, grandchildren are like children. How far are you willing to extend that? In terms of Psulim also, comes up Psul Krovim. Our grandchildren are for sure possible. What about a great-great-great-grandchild? Are they going to be possible or not? Things of Machlokas, Rama, Mentosus, and Rashbam think about this, and Bava Basra. Now, the Mogen Avraham has something interesting. He says, this is on page 5 now, the Mogen Avraham says that Yotzei Recho, Afilo Osan Shenoldu Kodum Lachem. So he kind of, throws a monkey wrench in your pshat, in that he says that, let's say, the great-grandchild was born already, and then the great-great-grandfather experienced an ace to him. So there's no hodah for the great-great-grandchild, Because he already was born. There's no thanks to be given. The great-great-grandfather experienced the nes after he was born. Still, Magen Avraham says one should still say a bracha in such a circumstance. Even though you were born before the nes actually happened. And you were alive during the nes. And you didn't really feel a hodah of it. Why is that? So you could perhaps say that Magen Avraham argues what you're saying. Really, why did Yotzei Yerecho say a shevach? Because even Yotzei Yerecho, a number of generations later, could still feel that shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They still had that innate within them. And therefore, it doesn't make a difference whether it's born or not. There's no, it's not about hodah. You could say it that way.
You're just giving a shear in what's, like, how far the shevach stretched out to.
Exactly.
If you're born, like, man, in the year, like, if you're born during the Doro, or the third part of the Doro, so that's the shear where they determine, like, the shevach still applies.
Right. Now, others do argue and say, no, if you were born before and you don't say it. The Shari Tshuva brings a shita down there. The Be'er Heitev quotes from somebody. If you were born and then the nes happened to your great-grandfather, you wouldn't say it. And that, l'chor, would be because it's a bad hodah. It's a hodah for me. I didn't experience it. My great-grandfather experienced it. I was born before him. The fact that he was saved didn't affect me at all because I already was born. So this machlokas Magen Avraham Shari Tshuva seem to argue about whether or not it's a hodah or a shevach. Now, the Mayas in the Mishnah Berurah paskins that whether you're born before or whether you're born afterwards, you should always say the bracha if you're Yotzei Yerecho.
And Yotzei Yerecho?
I don't know. He says, actually, from the only up until the grandson. Unless you were born afterwards. That's like he has like the chiluk. If you're born after the nes happened before your existence, before you're born, if you're born after the nes happened, then you would say, Kol Yotzei Yerecho would say the bracha. If you're born beforehand, and that you're alive during the nes of your great-grandfather, he says only a son or a grandson would say it. A great-grandson wouldn't say it. That's the pshara he comes up with. And the Berlacha, I guess somewhat related to Jake was saying, what about a daughter? So Berlacha says, what about a mother? If a nes happened to your mother, or to your grandmother, he thinks it's pashut that one should say bracha as well on the makom hanes. Now, in terms of what type of nes qualifies for saying the bracha? Birchas hanes. So the base of Bechir, the Miri writes in brachos, says first, dafka b'nes gadol, only a nes gadol, that's yotzi migidre sha'olam, saying supernatural. Only that deserves a nes. And then he brings another opinion, no, maybe really any small nes is deserving of a bracha as well. What's a machlok? It's about what type of nes deserves a bracha? L'chol, this very same thing. If it's about a birchas shevach, the praise of the greatness of Kadosh Baruch Hu, so Kadosh Baruch Hu does great things, the nisim all the time, we just don't recognize them. Unfortunately, we only recognize it when it's a nes gadol. That's when we really see the gevurah of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the nes gadol. So that's what deserves the bracha, only nes gadol. But if it's a birchas shevach, birchas hodah, so even if it wasn't a great nes, we know they're all nesim every day that happen. I experience more of a nes than normal, something a bit out of the ordinary, even though it's not a huge nes, I still feel this hakar satov and want to give my hodah to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, even a nes katan, whatever that means even a nes katan would be deserving of a birchas hodah. And just finally, there's a discussion, Machlokes Achronim, the Stechemed, the Tshuvas Chaim Biyad, Tshuva of the Chida, argue about an Avel, whether an Avel should say the Bracha Birchas HaNes or not. So the Chavetz explains as follows. If the Birchas HaNes is a Birchas Hodah, a giving of thanks, so the din is just like halal. Halal is also about hodah. Now, that's an assumption there. As we saw last year, it might not be about hodah, it might also be shevach as well. But he's assuming right now it's like hodah. And just like an ovel would not give hodah because he's not feeling tova, he's down on himself. He's depressed. He can't give proper hodah and thanks. So he shouldn't say birchas hanes either. But if it's about birchas shevach, so if a Ovel sees a rainbow, he sees lightning, hears thunder, of course he gives a birchas shevach. Nothing to do with what he feels, not his personal experience, it's about what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is. And therefore, he would say Birchas Hanes, he would give Birchas HaShevach. Jake asked if I could finish just for a few minutes of some Musar, Machshav of some sort, just for a few minutes, very quickly, not even a few minutes. Talk about Yosef, Hasadik. I forgot to look it up, but I think the Meshech Chachma in the end of Parsh Bamidbar regarding Pidyon HaBen. Sorry, the first Bechor, the first son. And the Meshech Chachma asks the following question. I might be quoting from some of these questions, I don't remember. Who gets the Pidyon HaBen? Who gets the money when it comes to Pidyon HaBen? The Kohen. It makes absolutely no sense that the Kohen gets the money. Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi was just as involved in... Sorry, I skipped. The Yerushalmi says that the amount of money given for the Pidyon HaBen is supposed to be a kapara for the Mechias Yosef. I skipped that step. It's a kapara, Pidyon HaBen is a kapara for Mechias Yosef. So if it's a kapara for Mechias Yosef, why does Shevet Levi get the money? Shevet Levi was just as involved with the selling of Yosef as any of the other brothers. Why are they coming out on top? Furthermore, why do children from Binyamin, Shevet Binyamin, and Ephraim and Asher have to pay money? They're the ones who are being sold, and Binyamin wasn't even involved. Why do they have to pay any money? So Meshech Chachma writes as follows. It doesn't mean it's a kapara, in that the people who did something wrong and those who did something right are saved. Pidyon HaBen is about recognizing the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKar Satov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Although things looked very bad in Mechias Yosef, and things on many bad things happened in future generations because of that sale, in the end of the day, it was necessary to create a whole thing for Yosef to go down to Mitzrayim, to set up what he had to set up to give Parnassa to Klal Yisrael, and then ultimately to be able to have a place for them that came down, and led to eventually, obviously, the Gaul of Mitzrayim, but ultimately to the Gula of Mitzrayim, coming back to Eretz Yisrael. So the idea sometimes, Hakaras, though, we only appreciate sometimes things when we see how real and how true, how good they are. The lesson of Pidyon HaBen is to recognize, even when things don't look so good, you're supposed to give bracha on the Tov and the Ra. Even the Ra you're supposed to give bracha on as well. Because even the Ra has elements of Tov within them, we just don't recognize them. So if we could think about just one thing, I guess, is just Hakar Satov to give to other people. And even when things look bad, Gamzul Tovah.